Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. While Scott for Politics, the Super Bowl of Super Tuesday is coming up in just a couple of days. A lot of states are going to vote. Want to give us a preview?
Yeah, Loman, well, it's great to be back with you. We do have Super Tuesday coming up on March 5th, and there's a bunch of states that are going to be casting votes in the presidential race. Some obviously have already had early voting, including my state of Virginia. We've also got 15 other states and one U.S. territory that'll be making their choice known for president of the United States and Republican nomination, and obviously for the Democrats as well. Last week, we saw Michigan go overwhelmingly for President Trump over Nikki Haley. And I think that we're going to see more of the same when it comes to Super Tuesday and all these other Republican states. I just don't think that the Haley campaign is able to put together enough support to actually defeat Donald Trump in any of these areas. And we also saw AFP, the Americans for Prosperity Action, their super PAC, withdrew their support and funding for Nikki Haley. So when the money starts to dry up, you start to wonder how long the campaign can continue. And a lot of people remember from 2016 how John Kasich sort of held on as long as he could just so that he could be the last man standing. And, you know, I think it's a similar thing here with Nikki Haley, although I do not expect her to be able to sustain a campaign into the early months of the summer.
Although being the last man standing hasn't really worked out too well for John Kasich, has he? We haven't really heard anything from him since.
Well, he tried to be relevant during the early years of the Trump administration as one of the early never-Trumper voices, always complaining about the things that President Trump was doing. And I would hope that Nikki Haley doesn't go that route. She's been a lifelong Republican. But when you look at the results in South Carolina from, I guess, roughly 10 days ago, a week ago, you had a ton of Democrats because that was an open primary, and those were the folks, according to the exit polls, that were showing up for Nikki Haley. And this is ultimately a Republican nomination. So there's some folks that want to see reforms to tighten up the process and how we nominate people and making sure that it's a Republican primary effort. And other people want to bring new voters into the fold. But I feel like it's more of a protest vote for Nikki Haley being exerted by the left, not any real dominant force of the Republican right. So we should expect Donald Trump to do very, very well on Super Tuesday. And what the other thing that I'm starting to really pay close attention to and will be watching on Tuesday night is some of these big congressional battles.
Let's pivot a little bit to those congressional battles. Of course, the U.S. House of Representatives, about as evenly divided as you can get here. We're down to about a two-seat Republican majority. We do have a couple of open seats. There are going to be special elections coming up here down the road. But relative to those battles that we have for congressional seats, what states do you see as being highly competitive?
Yeah, well, you're right. It's 219 to 213 right now, meaning Mike Johnson can only lose two votes or else it's a dead tie and there's no tiebreaker in the House. That means that he loses the vote. And so he's operating underneath a razor-thin majority. I am watching races in Alabama, Texas, and North Carolina. Those, I think, are some of the most competitive and most interesting Republican primaries. Starting out in Alabama, you may recall that Republicans lost a congressional district due to a Supreme Court case related to racial boundaries in Alabama. So what happened was you've got two Republican incumbents that are pitted against each other, Congressman Jerry Carl and Congressman Barry Moore. Barry Moore is a member of the House Freedom Caucus. He's somebody that the Club for Growth PAC has previously supported. And that one's going to be really tight. I think that Jerry Carl sort of has a lot of the Alabama special interest money that's been supporting him, more of the Republican establishment. And then Barry Moore is more of a anti-establishment type of candidate, given his association with the House Freedom Caucus. So it's sort of a night and day difference in terms of personalities there among those two members. And I think that that'll be an exciting one to watch on March 5th. Then I would pivot over to Texas, and you've got an open race there following the retirement of Michael Burgess, who is a pretty senior member in the Texas delegation. And this is the 26th district. There's a young man named Brandon Gill, and Club for Growth Action is supporting him, and Club for Growth PAC endorsed him. Brandon is the son-in-law of Dinesh D'Souza, and he's been sort of a young man, graduated from Brown University, and has just been a rising star in the conservative movement. President Trump endorsed him, but Texas has runoff elections. So in order to win on Super Tuesday and avoid a really costly runoff, Brandon's got to get over 50%. And the next race that I would sort of pivot over to is in North Carolina. There's several open races right now that are very, very contested. And in North Carolina, you only have to get 30% of the vote in order to avoid the runoff. One of the big races there involves, I think it's the 13th district. There's a man named Fred Boncannon. He's running as a conservative, has been endorsed by the House Freedom Fund, which is sort of the political arm of the Freedom Caucus. And I think he would be an outstanding member. Club for Growth Action has also endorsed in another race for Bo Hines. Bo Hines, you might recall, was supported by the club last cycle as well, came up a little bit short in his race in the general election. So he's given it another shot. And ultimately, I think that there's five open races in North Carolina. Some of those will avoid the runoff. Some of them will certainly head to a runoff. But those are the races that I think all the listeners are going to want to be watching. And of course, if you're in one of these other 13 states that are casting presidential primary ballots, some of them do have Republican primaries as well.
It's interesting, Scott, the process of redistricting, which should have been concluded back in 2021, there's been a lot of legal action in various states. Is it unusual that here we are 4 years later, still having battles over what our congressional districts are going to look like?
I think that the Democrats have constantly challenged congressional boundaries in the courts. And of course, they accuse the Republicans of gerrymandering. But have you seen the congressional map in Illinois that's controlled by Democrats? Have you seen the new congressional map in New York where they've tried to write out the Republicans that were helped in their elections through Lee Zeldin last cycle? Then you've also got different states like Maryland, who has, I think, a pretty gerrymandered congressional map in favor of the Democrats. And so all the Democrats try to do in their lawsuits is raise the race card. And, you know, I would hope that we can get to a day where, you know, racial discrimination is rooted out of our electoral process.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Scott, a few words for us, please, about the club.
Well, Club for Growth is a membership organization based out of Washington, D.C. Today, we talked a little bit about Club for Growth PAC and Club for Growth Action, the political arms of the Club for Growth. If you want to learn more about the candidates that we're supporting and all the other things that Club for Growth is up to, check out clubforgrowth.org, where you can actually sign up and become a member for free.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Scott, thank you for being here.
You're welcome.